There are two stories today that belong together, even though they arrived separately on HN. The EFF's analysis of the Kids Act, and a separate essay arguing that age verification is essentially a precursor to automated speech attribution. The Kids Act would require age verification checks to access online platforms. The stated goal is child protection, preventing minors from accessing harmful content. The EFF's position is that the mechanism required to implement this at scale is incompatible with anonymous internet use. And that's not a side effect. It's the point.
The essay on age verification as speech attribution precursor makes a really specific technical argument. Once you have infrastructure that can reliably identify the age of a user, you have as a necessary byproduct infrastructure that can reliably identify the user. The age check is just the socially acceptable framing for building an identity layer on top of internet access. And once that layer exists, the question of who gets to query it and under what legal standards becomes the actual fight. The author notes that every major speech restriction regime historically has required attribution. You can't prosecute someone for what they said if you don't know who said it.
From a policy standpoint, the Kids Act has broad bipartisan support in Congress, which is itself worth pausing on. When something gets bipartisan support in the current environment, it's either genuinely popular with voters or it's something both sides want for different reasons. Child safety polling incredibly well, and there's no organized constituency for anonymous internet access among voters who don't follow technology policy closely. The EFF can write detailed technical analyses, but they're fighting a political battle with a legal toolkit.
The pollen story intersects with this theme, albeit from a corporate rather than government direction. Gurgly Oros at The Pragmatic Engineer wrote a critical article about Pollen, a company whose CEO is Callum Negus Fancy and whose CTO is Wright, and apparently Pollen's leadership requested that the article be removed. The more troubling part of the story is that Google appears to have assisted with the de-indexing or suppression of the article in some way. Oros is being careful about his language, but the implication is that a search engine with dominant market share, acting on a corporate request, can effectively erase a piece of journalism from practical discoverability.
This is where antitrust law becomes directly relevant, and I want to spend a moment on the mechanics here because it's genuinely misunderstood. The Sherman Antitrust Act, passed in 1890, prohibits monopolization and restraint of trade. But here's the thing that surprises most people. Having a monopoly isn't illegal. What's illegal is using monopoly power to harm competition or to exclude rivals through anti-competitive conduct. Market share alone, even 90% market share, doesn't make you a Sherman Act violator.
So for Google specifically, the question isn't, does Google dominate search? It clearly does, controlling around 89% of global search queries. The question is whether Google is using that dominance to engage in exclusionary conduct. The distinction the courts draw is between competing on the merits, having a better product, and using market power to harm competitors, or, in a case like the pollen situation, to selectively suppress content in ways that serve corporate interest rather than users. The DOJ's ongoing antitrust cases against Google are testing exactly that line.
What makes the pollen case interesting from an antitrust lens is that it's not a competitor being harmed. It's a journalist. The Sherman Act isn't primarily a press freedom statute, so the legal theory there is messier. But the underlying concern that a company controlling information distribution can be enlisted to suppress inconvenient journalism is precisely the kind of systemic risk that regulators are increasingly paying attention to, even if the legal tools aren't perfectly fitted to address it yet.
The HN comments on the pollen thread are relatively sparse, only 28 comments. But the ones there focus on the precedent question. If this is how corporate reputation management works in 2026, hire lawyers, contact major platforms, make the article disappear from practical view, then the economics of investigative journalism about private companies become deeply unfavorable. The story costs money to report and legal fees to defend. The de-indexing costs the subject of the story almost nothing.